foundation is something that you you build on. And there probably is different degrees of the ability to build in this room. I'm on the lower end of that scale. I'm more part of the demolition team than the building team. But good news, all of you in this room are building something, and that is your lives. And what you build your life on is very critical. The foundation that you build your life on is very, very important. And this time of year, it's interesting, as you enter in a new year, people are drawn to making resolutions. Some of the most popular ones are to eat better, exercise more, lose weight, save more money, learn a new skill, quit smoking, read more, and I thought this was interesting, this was in the top 10, find another job. But this message this morning is not about resolutions, but it's about the importance of foundations in our lives. I believe that as people enter into a new year, I really believe that they're looking for their life, and they're kind of capturing their life in two main categories: direction and protection. I see this as I talk to people. They don't always use those exact words, but it comes out in direction and protection. People want to know, where will this year take me? How will I get where I want to go? And what's going to happen to me along the way? That's direction and protection. We verbalize a desire to improve. We want to become a better version of ourselves. We want to maybe grow in our jobs or even grow in our faith. We want to be healthy and have things be peaceful in our homes or in our country or in our world. You know what that is? That's direction and protection. That's what we're looking for. So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a really short series because it's 2 weeks. It's called Foundations. And in this series, we're going to unpack two psalms from the book of Psalms. One is the foundation for direction, and the other is the foundation for protection. And I see God at work in my life, even as I prepared this week, not knowing what was going to happen, that God was going to use his word in my own life to give me direction and protection along the way. So, if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to Psalm 1. If you would like to use the Pew Bible, it's 374. 374 if you'd like to use the Pew Bible. But turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1 is our foundation for direction. And as you're turning there, and if you have an insert, you might want to access the insert at this time because you should have written down direction and protection if you have your insert. But this is something I want you to be aware of as you're turning to Psalm chapter 1. The number one thing that impacts the direction of our lives is not money, it's not stuff, it's our choices. The number one thing that impacts the direction of our lives is our choices. And as much as you may want to try to do this, none of you will be able to live out 2019 without making choices. We all make choices. You already made a choice. You came to church. You're not sure if it was a good choice, but you made it. But we will all make choices in 2019. We'll make financial choices. We'll make relationship choices. We'll make choices of how we do our job. We'll make marriage choices. And I'm not talking about who you're going to marry. Maybe that is going to be for you. But I'm talking about if you're married, you're going to make choices within your marriage. You're going to make parenting choices, integrity choices, morality choices. You're going to make choices at school. You're going to make choices if you're on a sports team. You're going to make church choices. You're going to make faith choices. All these choices and so many more are affected by your foundation for direction. Absolutely, positively. And I was thinking that as we make choices that move the direction of our lives, I don't know about you, but I want to get it right. I don't like getting lost. I don't. So as we think about the choices that move the direction of our lives, we should want to get it right. And that's where Psalm 1 comes in. to give us that foundation for direction. So I invite you to look with me in your Bibles or on the screen. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." Here's how Psalm 1 initially instructs us in the foundation for direction. Here it is: invite people into your life who will influence you into a stronger relationship with God. If you make that choice in 2019, you'll be moving in the right direction. I guarantee that. Invite people into your life who will influence you into a stronger relationship with God. Because it is a fact that people influence our choices. More specifically, people impact our spiritual condition. They do. So the foundation for direction includes the people you and I surround ourselves with and their impact on us spiritually. And I know that some of you may be familiar with Psalm chapter 1, but if this is new to you, this verse, if you're looking at it in your Bibles, seems kind of negative, and it is. But it's on purpose. The psalmist is using it to make a point about the importance of direction as it relates to relationships. He says, blessed is the person. That word blessed means happy or satisfied, but it's much more than that. He's saying, blessed is the person who's going in the right direction with God. And then he uses a relationship progression. I don't know if you saw that or not. I want you to see it in your Bibles. He uses a relationship progression to illustrate the importance of influence in our lives. He says, blessed is the person who does not walk in step with the wicked. So the word walk is really casual influence. He's saying, as you're living your lives, you will have casual contact with people who maybe don't follow God or don't really care about God or don't really follow the Bible. He's not saying that you shouldn't be with those people, but be aware of that. Be aware of that casual influence. Be aware of monitoring it. Because walking is just kind of walking life, and it just kind of happens. Be aware of that. Then he says, blessed is the person who does not stand in the way that sinners take. Standing is continued influence. That means you've stopped. And you're talking with someone who maybe is not helping you spiritually, and you're spending a little bit more time with them. You're listening to them. Hey, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like I'm missing out because I'm following God. Yeah, wow, you got to do that. I don't get to do that. And you're listening to them, and you're allowing them to have some influence on a continued basis. The psalmist says, be careful. And then finally he says, the blessed is a person who does not sit in the company of mockers. This is collusion. Collusion is just a big word to mean that you participate in what they're doing. You not only listen to their direction, but you follow it. And it says here pretty clear what we do. We follow their sinful thoughts and actions. And as God followers, we would agree that if you get to the third progression, it changes the direction of your life. It changes you spiritually. If you get to that third point where you're not just listening to people who are taking you away from God, you're following their example. So Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to turn it a little bit for you. Because I do agree that there's a warning there. Absolutely. But I don't want us to look at it just as being negative or reactive. I want us to turn it a little bit, and that's why I used the statement that I did. I want you to think about it in a proactive way. Instead of thinking about being super defensive all the time, about people that are influencing you, you should be aware of it, but instead of just being defensive, how about we go on the offensive and invite people into our lives who will help us grow closer to God? Too many times, church people are known for what they're against, and I get it. But do you invite people into your life who are helping you grow spiritually? I think that most of you in this room would agree that there's value in having people in your lives, yes? I mean, having people in your lives, there's value there. And it's interesting, as I was preparing this message about the influence of people, for the first time ever, I think, in my inbox, in my Yahoo account, I got several emails about getting training to be a life coach. Wow, they would pay me for that? I think I'm a life coach. I get paid for it. This is awesome. And so I could go online and I could check on the certification to become a life coach. Now, if you're a life coach, I'm not diminishing that, but that's, I just thought that was kind of cool. And that's saying there's some value in that. Is there value in having a mentor in your life. Someone at work that's helping you, absolutely. A teacher, a coach, someone who helps you with that goal of losing some weight, sure. You have that fitness trainer at your gym who's your friend, but not really your friend. But they're to influence the direction of your life. Oh, no, you didn't do enough. You didn't do enough of them. Yes, we'll keep going. We have wellness coaches, and we have all these different relationships. I get it. They're all good. I think they're all good. They're beneficial. They're valuable. But in 2019, the question for us is this. Who do you have in your life that helps you grow closer to God? Who do you proactively place in your life that helps you grow closer to God? Well, I don't know, Pastor Jay, but I have a wellness coach. Good for you. I got a fitness guy who's just beating me up. I'm glad. I just signed up with my life coach and I'm feeling better. Good for you. And they can talk to you on your phone. Awesome. But who's in your life to help you grow closer to God? How do you find those kind of people? Well, don't look around because that's kind of awkward, but it could happen here. It could happen here. You could join a small group. You could have people in your life, some friends that would help steer you towards a relationship with God. And I think it's interesting. Because I don't know everybody out here, where you are, you know, with your faith. But let's say you're still checking out faith. You're not really sure. One of the best ways to check out faith is to invite some faith people into your life. I know they're scary. They can be. I try not to be so scary. But invite some faith people into your life. Rub shoulders with some faith people and just watch them. And maybe, just maybe, you'll learn a little bit about a relationship with God, something that you need. And if you're already a follower of Christ, you can't do this on your own. You need people in your life to influence you into a stronger relationship with God. The foundation for direction continues in verse 2 of Psalm 1. It says, taking from verse 1, it says, blessed is the one, and he goes on in verse 2 to say, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So verse 1 says, it's important to know who influences your direction. Then verse 2, what gives you direction? Based on verse 2, here's my statement. You and I should base your most important decisions on the truth of the Bible. You want direction? Base your most important decisions on the truth of the Bible. Now, listen, some of you are not going to like my next statement, but I just try not to take it way further than it's supposed to. I'm not talking about Chipotle or Moe's. I'm not talking about those kind of decisions. I'm not talking about, God, should I go to Tops or should I go to Aldi? Lord bless you, just pick one. You kind of people drive me crazy. I don't know what to do. Well, what do you want to eat? I don't know, Moe's or Chipotle. Listen, I'm just going to drive you right into the building. And you're going to eat right there. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your most important decisions. How about your financial decisions? Your relationship decisions? Who you hang out with? Your friends that you decide to have? Your parenting decisions? Your marriage decisions? Your moral decisions? Your ethical decisions? Your faith decisions? Base them on the truth of the Bible. Too often, and I think Christians do this as well, too often we base our decisions, or we make significant choices on a hunch, a horoscope, a whim, intuition, a gut feeling, or if we went out to eat last night, a fortune cookie. It's not a really good option. Pastor Rick Warren said this, many of our troubles occur because we base our choices on unreliable authorities, like culture, everyone's doing it, tradition, I've always done it this way, reason, it seems logical, or emotion, it just feels right. All of those are not great options. Listen to what the Bible says about direction. Psalm chapter 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Isn't that not a direction verse? That's a direction verse. Since I have a granddaughter in my house who has, you know, small toys and blocks, lights are good things. So I don't have to repent for bad words. I try to counsel parents of young kids, do not let them have Legos, because they will come back to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? So when you and I are looking for direction in our lives, oh, I just live my life by my gut feeling. I just, you know, intuition. How about God's word? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this about the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. You know what teaching is? Telling someone the right direction. And it's profitable for rebuking. Hey, you're going the wrong direction. And then correcting is, we need to reroute, okay? Rerouting. And then training is teaching people to continually go in the right direction. So the Bible was designed to give direction. I don't know about you. I used to hate it when I got bad directions from people. It frustrated me. Because first of all, it took me a long time to even be willing to stop and ask for directions. Come on, we'll find it. We're in the right state. So when I humbled myself enough to stop, and then the person on the corner in good faith said, take a right, take a left, take another right, and then you're there. I took a right, took a left, and a right, and I wasn't there. And I wanted to make a left and a right and a left and go back and say, you're wrong. But then I get lost even more. So I don't like getting bad directions. And then I remember growing up in the car, what gave us direction was the Rand McNally map. Folding that thing up, or that, you know, you go through. And, you know, that was much more dangerous than texting and driving. I'm just saying, because if you're by yourself, you're like, what's going on? And so we'd have that map. But that didn't always work out too well. And then I remember they came up with something, I know what, this is going to date me, something called MapQuest. And you could put in, type in the address on your computer, and you could print out the directions. Wow. One page as opposed to, you know, L5, and it was all there. But then I found something out. If you didn't update the software for MapQuest and used old maps, oh, there's no street with that name anymore. And you would get lost. Frustrating. And now we have GPS. What a blessing. For the most part, GPS uses the global navigation satellite system. And I'm just telling you, if you have the right device that's accessing the right information, you'll not only get where you need to go, it'll tell you when there's an accident and give you another route. You can even bring up a picture of the place you want to go and decide, I don't really want to go there. All of this on your phone or on your dashboard. Isn't that great? But the reliability of these devices is directly tied to the information that it uses. So when it comes to something as important as the direction for our lives, why would we not use the Bible? You know who wrote it? The God of the universe, who made you and I and loves us and is the master GPS person. Why would we not use the Bible to navigate our lives? It is so reliable. The question is it really worth it to follow the biblical foundation of direction? Does it really matter who or what influences our direction? Well, I want you to decide by reading further with me in Psalm chapter 1. Is it really worth it? Verses 3 to 5. That person, the blessed person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Here's the statement. Your direction, my direction, choices have the potential for two things, reward or regret. It's right there. Our direction choices have the potential for reward or regret, directly related to our choices. Interesting, in verse 3, it says the person who follows God's word is like a tree planted by streams of water. It's a visual picture for the readers because this is written to people who lived in Israel. And in Israel, it's an arid desert kind of land. And so if you came across a tree that was blooming with fruit, it's like, wow, what a blessing. So it's saying here, we don't plant the trees ourselves. God plants his grace in us, and then he grows fruit in our lives with that picture. So the psalmist is describing that someone who bases their direction choices on godly principles will prosper. That's the reward. Now be careful here. Be careful because This verse has been used by some people on TV to tell you that if you just follow God, everything you touch is going to turn to gold. Tried that. Didn't really work, but that's not what it's talking about. Here's how it works. It's called the obedience touch, not the Midas touch. If I choose to love my wife, Pam, biblically, my marriage will prosper. If you choose to love your spouse and take that direction, your marriage will prosper, guaranteed. If you choose to make financial decisions based on the direction of God's word, you'll be blessed by being a good steward. Will you all be millionaires? I'd love to tell you that. But you should be running me out of town because in a couple of weeks you're going to figure that out. That's not true. But will you be blessed as a good steward by God? Absolutely. So the idea is your choices have the potential for reward or regret. Parenting, how you do your job, all these things. If you follow God's word in its direction, you will prosper. But I don't want you to miss this. If you're still deciding about faith in God, about becoming a follower of Christ, if you make that change in direction, you will prosper. Because God will forgive you and bless your life both here and in the future. Absolutely. What a great direction choice. But just like there's potential for reward, there's also potential for regret. Because in those verses, especially verses 4 and 5, there's some pretty heavy statements there. There's some consequences if we as God followers decide not to follow his word. But let's say you're still figuring out this faith thing, or let's say right now you're saying, God, I don't want anything to do with you. Well, the Bible says that you're like chaff. Chaff is that husk of the grain that's blown away. And what that means is, if you're basically saying to God right now, I will do my own thing, that's a direction choice. And God is saying, listen, people that decide to not have a relationship with me, they face judgment. I know it's not easy to hear, but it's biblical, it's there. And if we're not in a relationship with God, we don't stand in approval before him. That's what those verses say. It's making the comparison. One is reward, one is regret. Not only regret in this life, but in the life to come. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs. I decided to give it to you in the King James because I like the way it's phrased. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding gives favor. Good understanding means, I heard what you said, God, I'm going to do it. But the way of transgressors is hard. If you decide, nope, it's going to be hard. It's going to bring some regret. So it's really important. The foundation of direction also includes the idea of where will your direction take you? Where will it take you? Nobody really likes bad directions. I've not met anybody who's really, I love it when people give me the wrong direction. I just love ending up in the wrong place. Or a bad place. I mean, it's really bad when you're driving through a city you don't really know and you get bad directions and you go into a part of town and you're like, okay, everybody roll up the windows, lock the doors, we're just going to keep driving. And then you notice your gas light comes on. Oh, then you're in trouble. No one likes that. What you decide about direction with God will bring reward or regret. Verse 6 wraps up this psalm for us as far as direction. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. One final comment. God notices which direction we choose. God notices which direction we choose. This verse is not just about God knowing intellectually what we're doing, but there's an intentional response. In this verse, God is saying, if you choose to follow me and accept Jesus Christ, if you invite Jesus Christ into your life, if you choose to do that, I will make a commitment to watch over you, a commitment of a relationship with you. You'll become my own. But then it says, if you say no, then the protection has been removed. Isn't that what it says? So I know it seems harsh to people, but I don't think it's harsh. I think it's loving, the fact that God even cares. He notices and he cares about your direction, and he appeals to you and I to follow him. The songwriter and singer Billy Joel has a lot of famous songs. One of his famous songs is called My Life. Let me read some of the words. I don't need you to worry for me because I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. Wow. Now, I don't know who he was saying that to. But be careful if we're saying that to God, because it matters to him which direction we take. And it should matter to us. God, don't worry about me. I got it. Take care of other people's lives. Leave me alone. The direction of our lives, according to verse 6, has the ability to bring rejoicing or the ability to bring some really serious consequences. So in 2019, just some final thoughts here. In 2019, let me just end with some questions. Who will you allow to influence your direction? You have to decide that spiritually. Who will you allow to do that? Number two, what will guide your direction? Number three, where will your direction take you? Are you headed toward reward or toward regret? And number four, what will God think of your direction? What will God think of your direction? These are important questions, and they will all be impacted and be directed for us as we spend time looking back on Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one. I'm going to pray, and then as I pray, the men are going to come, and I'm going to give you some instructions for communion. God, thank you for your word, the lamp for our feet and light for our path. And God, right now I pray for each one in this room, because we all make choices. We all have people who influence us. And so right now, there may be some who are thinking about decisions that are going to take them away from you. And I pray that they would respond in obedience and change their direction. Perhaps there's some here who have never really said to you, God, I will give my life to you. I pray that today would be that time for them to do that. Realizing that there's lots of ways that we can go, God, but following you is the absolute best way, and it's based on the foundation of Psalm 1, blessed is the one. I pray also as we partake of our time together in communion that we'd be mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.